The following is a home program given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on March 22nd, 2010, in Radadesh, Belgium.
Everything is there in the name. Everything you could ever want, or everything that's beyond what you could even think about wanting, it's all there in the name. Everything is there. The name, through the name you get the form, the qualities, the pastimes, the entourage. I mean, everything is there in Krishna's name. In other words, you get the full Krishna. The name is not part of Krishna. The name is the full Krishna. And if we can simply learn how to call out Krishna's name with total absorption, then actually Krishna will reveal himself to us. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santak sadaiva hridadeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram achint yoganasva rupam go vindam adi purusham tamaham vajami. All we have to do is get some of that premanjana. In English, the word unguent, you can see the connection between the word anjana and unguent, which is another word for ointment. So that's another proof that that English is coming from Sanskrit. Unguent, ointment, anjana. So if we can get some of that prem anjana, and we can anoint our eyes. You have to go to the proper pharmacy, you see, the proper chemist or drugstore to get that prem anjana. You can't get it in any ordinary drugstore, the prem anjana. You have to go to, actually, that Prayag pharmacy. Prabhupada was a pharmacist. And he is still a pharmacist. But he has given up all the other medicines, and he is giving one medicine only now, and that is prem anjana. So we simply have to go to the master pharmacist, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and get that very special prescription for prem anjana. Now, normally, you know, if you have eye ointment, you normally, you know, put a little here and, you know, blink your eyes, you know. But this ointment is quite different ointment. This ointment goes in through the ears. Quite unusual eye ointment. Through the ears you put that eye ointment. And you got to, the route to get it to here is you have to go through here. You got to take it in through here, you see, and then it goes up to here. You got to take the Shabda Brahma, the holy name of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, all that unlimited ocean of nectar which is there in Krishna Gita, Machchita, Madgita, Prana, Prana, Bodhiyandak, Parashparidam, Katiyantashtamam, Yacham, Tashyanti, Cha, Ramanti, Cha. They enjoy like anything, Ramanti, Cha. Ramanti, they really, really enjoy, you see. So you have to agree to enjoy the unlimited nectar of Krishna consciousness and just enjoy it unlimitedly without any restriction, without holding back anything. Completely dive into that ocean of Krishna prema, you see. Take that nectar into the ears. Again and again and again. The more you bring it in, the more it flushes out those unwanted things. You know, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. It all gets flushed out. The more you bring that prem anjana, you know, that Krishna gita into the ears, and it all gets flushed out. And as it gets flushed out, then wow, gradually Krishna becomes manifest. Actually, Prabhupada explains in one lecture, actually everyone is seeing God. You see. Because everything, God is omnipresent, everything is His energy. So actually everybody is seeing God at every minute. But just as some of you are wearing glasses tonight, I notice, and some people who wear thick glasses, if they take their glasses off, they're in trouble. It's just like a big blur out there, you know. So, that's the position we're all in right now. Even though Krishna is there, it's a big blur. Instead of seeing, actually we're seeing Krishna, but we're seeing a blurred version of Krishna called the material energy. It's a big blur. But the process of Krishna consciousness, you see, it's gradually, just like those, the corrective lenses then compensate for the maladjustment of the eyes and allow one to see clearly. So this premanjana, it clears out the blurriness. It brings the eyes back into focus. So even though Krishna is there right now, we cannot see, but by this repeatedly diving into hearing the holy names, chanting, all these things, rendering devotional service, all these activities which are cleansing the heart, then gradually we will see Krishna. And that's the perfection. Actually, Prabhupada directly, I love this order Prabhupada gave me. He ordered me. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. I'm just eternally grateful for Prabhupada, to Prabhupada for telling me that. Now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So, of course, what we can do on our own, we're just helpless, you know, struggling servants of our sense. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the great Acharyas, you see, then we can actually come out of this blurred state, intensely blurred state, where we really can't see God even though He's there, you see. We can't see Krishna. And gradually, He'll become visible. Actually, that's one of the symptoms of someone who is Krishna conscious. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo bharakti ranyatra chai shatraka eka kalaha. Three symptoms for one who is actually becoming Krishna conscious. One, he's developing love, bhakti. Pareshanu bhavo bharaktir. And the second and third items are that he's actually seeing God everywhere. He's experiencing God everywhere. You see. He becomes more, or he or she becomes more conscious of Krishna within everything, within every sight, within every sound, within every smell, within every taste, within every touch. He becomes, he feels how he's becoming connected with Krishna through all of his senses, you see. This is a symptom of someone who's advancing in Krishna consciousness. And the third item, which would be quite natural, viraktir, means he's not interested in sense gratification anymore. I mean, if you can eat strawberry, organic strawberry ice cream offered to the deities, who would want to eat a plate of stool, you know? It's common sense, I mean. Who wants to mess around with sense gratification when you can directly associate with God? In Krishna consciousness means you come to directly associate with God. That's what Krishna consciousness means. To directly associate with God. So we just have to do our homework, attend the class. Just like here, a student, he has his duties, student's duties. To get his certification, he has to do his student duties. So we all want the ultimate certification of Krishna Prem, isn't it? So we have to do our student's duties. And if we do those faithfully, you see, then we will become Krishna conscious. We will directly see God. We will directly associate with God. This is the great mercy of Prabhupada. He has given us this incredibly sublime, ecstatic lifestyle, you see. Sometimes people say, well, it's so difficult to be Krishna conscious, but actually that's not true. Krishna consciousness is the easiest thing. To not be Krishna conscious, that's the difficulty. To be Krishna conscious is the easiest thing. Not being Krishna conscious, that's when we have to struggle, you see. Because not being Krishna conscious means I'm trying to be the Lord of all I survey. I'm trying to take a position which is not my position. I'm tired, just like that, the classic, what is it? Is it Hercules holding up the earth? The Roman god struggling, about to get a hernia, trying to hold up the earth, you know. So that's, you know, we're like Hercules trying to take some position of, you know, I'm the Lord, on the verge of getting a hernia, you know, struggling to be the Lordship. It's so difficult. But if we can just, you know, just be natural. Stop trying to be unnatural, being the Lord. Just be your natural self, just the servant of God, you see. Our Krishna conscious philosophy is a very simple thing. Know who you are and be who you are. It's really boils down to that simple thing. This is not a cult religion. This is not a sect. This is a scientific system of simply knowing who you are and being who you are. I mean, what gentleman would object? My dear sir, would you like to know who you are? My dear sir, did you know that you actually possess a fortune greater than Bill Gates? Would you like to know who you are? No, I'm not interested. Really? I have a fortune greater than Bill Gates? Yes, sir, you do. You have a fortune greater than Bill Gates. And I will tell you how to regain your fortune. Would you like to know? Yes, yes, tell me. See, that is Krishna consciousness. It's, from my perspective, it's simply madness that the whole world has not joined this movement. It's madness, sheer madness. Because everyone can achieve a fortune greater than any fortune even of Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods. I mean, wow, what amazing thing Prabhupada has given us. It's absolutely revolutionary that Prabhupada has given. So we got to educate everybody. Ours is an educational movement, actually. This society that Prabhupada has established is the topmost educational institution in the entire universe. So we simply have to become educated ourselves and become very good educators. The more we are educated, the better we become at educating. And the nice thing about educating is the more you become, you engage in educating, you also, that empowers you to become more and more educated. In other words, the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. This is why people become addicted to preaching. It becomes the, you know, that's why somebody who really gets a taste, you know, going out on a book distribution is like being a kid in a candy shop. Because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So this is why the devotees become absolutely maddened in transcendental ecstasy of pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. Because Krishna becomes captivated. If one becomes captivated by Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, then Krishna becomes captivated by that devotee. So anyway, we're very happy to be all here with all of you wonderful devotees on this very auspicious occasion, gathering here to in a Krishna conscious atmosphere, making Krishna the center. Mataji and I both feel very blessed by your Sangha, and we very much thankful that you've allowed us to come here in spite of our innumerable disqualifications. Maybe there's some questions. Yes, probably.
Now you say Krishna consciousness is so natural and it's so easy.
Yeah, what is that?
You say Krishna
consciousness. Yes, absolutely. It's the most natural, easy thing.
So much struggling. What is wrong?
Yes, we are struggling because we are holding on to this misconception that I am the center of existence. You see, we foolishly are holding on to the overlordship position. You know, I'm actually, everybody is trying to be God. This is a world where everybody is thinking they're the supreme. They may not overtly say that, but actually it's a fact that every minute they look at their vision of reality is that I'm the center of existence. Everybody has that mood. Everyone thinks I'm the center. So that's the struggle. We're trying to be something that we're not. We're trying to be the center when we're not the center. That's the struggle. So we just have to say, okay, I'm not the center. I'm going to give up trying to be the center. I'm just going to let Krishna be the center. I'm just going to be his little servant. That's all. It's all. Let me just take my natural position of being his servant. We just have to keep reminding ourselves again and again and again, because we're so conditioned by a world civilization in which everybody is trained to think that they are the center. Because of this society we're living in, you know, in other words, you have to be in a revolutionary state of mind. Not that I buy into the world view, I have to be engaged in trying to transform the world view of this planet. You see? So unless you're actually combating the present world view at every minute by your thoughts, words, and deeds, you'll be sucked into it. So that's why to become Krishna conscious means to, in one sense, to declare war on the material nature. So each one of us should be engaged in the Sankirtan mood of trying to combat the present world view of where the individual is the center of existence. So we have to be very Green Berets. In the U.S. they have the elite troops called the Green Berets. We need to become elite troops in Lord Chaitanya's army to combat this I am the center worldview that everyone's holding on to right now. If we're always trying to combat that first and foremost within ourselves, and wherever we go, try to establish that principle in all of our dealings with everybody, with devotees, with non-devotees, everywhere. Always try to push forward the proper vision that God is the center and we are his tiny parts and parcels. We have to be in a habit of always doing that. From the minute we wake up to the minute we go to sleep at night, always pushing ourselves to see things properly according to the Shastra. When we drift away from the Shastric vision, then what are we going to do? We're going to see in terms of our own senses. And then it will be a struggle. But we can train the mind not to see from the standpoint of Indriya Seva, but to see from the standpoint of Krishna Seva. Keep training the mind, bringing it back. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamashtaram tatastato yam yatad atmanivyabhishamnayat. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and steady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. For one might say, but that's so tedious, it's so difficult, oh, it's so hard. I mean, Prabhu, you're telling me I have to keep bringing my mind back, but it's such a struggle to keep bringing that mind back. But there's a very simple way to do that, where it actually happens automatically. And that's given by Rupa Goswami. In other words, the yogis have to struggle. Mechanically, oh, there the mind goes again, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. But for the bhaktas, we have a higher level instruction from Rupa Goswami. If I can remember that verse. Tunde tandavali vritim vitinite tundavali landaye karna karoda kadambani gatayate karnarmudev daspriham cheta prangana sangani vijayate servendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyadviramita krishneti varnadvai. It's such a wonderful verse. Actually, Prabhupada told George Harrison to make a popular song out of that verse. Such a very important verse. That, and then he had translation like this, that, I do not know, no jane, he says, I do not know how much nectar is contained in these two syllables, Krishna. Because when I say that name, Krishna, it dances within my mouth. And when that name is dancing within my mouth, I desire many mouths. And when those names enter into my ears, I desire many, many millions of ears. And when that name is dancing in the courtyard of my heart, it completely conquers the activities of my mind, and I am stunned in an absolute state of wonder. So this is better than the yogis, you know, keep trying to bring that mind back. There it goes again, bring it back, bring it back. No. You just dive into that Namamrita Sindhu, that unlimited ocean, nectarian ocean of Krishna's names. And then the struggle's gone. It's completely gone. As yogi, we have the struggle. Mechanically bringing back. But as bhakta, the struggle goes away, you see. Because the name is so powerful that the mind is automatically conquered. The struggle is automatically finished just by the power of the name. Now, sometimes one may wonder, what does that mean? I mean, anyway, you know. Millions of mouths and millions of ears. What's Rupa Goswami talking about anyway? Well, this question was raised. I was recently at a devotee pizza party in Argentina. And this question came up. It was a wonderful afternoon. It was out, they have a house out in the country. It was a beautiful. The fields were there and nice shade tree. It was just, and they were really into it. They had a pizza oven in their backyard, you know, an oven just for baking pizzas. We put a real fire in there and you know, they were really into it. And we just happened to be there, and they had a pizza party, so we were discussing this whole issue. What does this mean? What is Rupa Goswami talking about? And I gave an example of pizza to help everybody understand what was the meaning of this shloka. In this way, I explained to them. Just imagine Prabhu or Mataji that, you know, this today is your birthday, and we wanted to honor you with a special dinner. A pizza feast just for you, you see. So you come in, we bring you into this huge hall, you see. And there you find 10,000 pieces of pizza. Just for you. Say, okay, Mataji, now enjoy the pizza. You say, well, thank you very much, but I mean, what can I do with but one mouth and one little belly? I mean, there's 10,000 pieces of pizza here. I'd love to enjoy it all, but I mean, you know, after maybe 10 pieces, I'd be wiped out, you know. 10 pieces, and 10 pieces of pizza, I'll be wiped out. How can I enjoy 10,000 pieces of pizza? Well, if I had 10,000 mouths and 10,000 bellies, then I could begin to enjoy 10,000 pieces of pizza. And then I could really enjoy it. This is what Rupa Goswami is talking about, you understand? If I just had a million mouths and a billion ears, then I could, there's so much nectar in that utterance of Krishna, there's so much unlimited nectar what my one little mouth and one little set of ears can get from it. But give me millions of mouths and millions and billions of ears, and then I can start to get maybe an infinitesimal fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the nectar which is there in Krishna. So, Prabhu, that's the easy solution for struggle. It's all there in those two syllables. Krishna. So, what was the question? Was it?
Pizza.
He wants the 10,000 pieces of pizza?
Yes, pizza.
Well, I'm giving you something which is more... Actually, I'm just passing it on. You know, Prabhupada is giving all of us something which is more nectarian than 10 zillion pieces of pizza. And that is Krishna. Those two syllables, Krishna. Yes.
When I hear you speaking, it sounds to me like you've had some personal experience here of the glories of chanting Hare Krishna.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know, it's too personal, but if you'd like to give us some of your... I mean, what is it that's illumined or activated this place?
Well, one day I came to a place called... One day it was... the 22nd of March, 2010, and I came to a place called Radhadesh. I was invited to some program in an apartment and with a bunch of wonderful devotees, and I chanted the holy names with them. And it was so sweet, it was so inconceivably sublime, the nectar that was there being created in that room, that I just felt I was totally beyond this world when I engaged in that kirtan with those wonderful devotees who are yourselves. There's one of my experiences I had with the holy name. The holy name is here and now. It's all we have to do is grab for it. I mean, you know, people go to Vrindavan to try to get the nectar, but you know, Vrindavan is right there, Krishna. Of course, their nectar is there in Vrindavan. If you can dive into the holy name in Vrindavan, that it becomes very powerful. I just came from Vrindavan. But, I just think back of all the experiences I had with Krishna's name beginning in December of 1968, when I was just desperately searching for some relief from the suffering of material existence. I had tried Yogananda, and that didn't work. I tried Maharishi and that didn't work. And then one evening a friend came over with some friends, and he started chanting Hare Krishna in my apartment. He still told us to chant with him. And I was amazed because I respected him greatly, this friend of mine. His name was Patrick. And he chanted... it's a long story, but I was intrigued. What is this mantra he's chanting? So in this way, I investigated. He showed me an article from the Saturday Evening Post, a popular magazine in those days, about the so-called Summer of Love in Haight-Ashbury. And in this article, they interviewed I interviewed Mukunda and Hayagriva. In this article, Saturday Evening Post interviewed them. And they told about the Swami Bhaktivedanta. And they printed the whole mantra there. So in this way, I got the mantra. He showed me the magazine. I got the mantra out of the magazine. And I got a beautiful picture, a poster of Radha Govinda. And he made a little altar there in my apartment. I hadn't met the devotees yet, but I began my relationship with the Holy Name in that fall of 1968 in Denver, and I would chant Hare Krishna, and I felt that I was being carried on a magic carpet to another dimension of existence beyond all the miseries. And in this way, my wonderful relationship with the Holy Name began, and then by gradually meeting the devotees, and it deepened, and it's just been deepening more and more ever since. Every time, every experience I have with the name simply deepens it more and more. So, what can I say? It's ever-increasing nectar.
Well, we don't all have that experience.
Hmm?
We don't all have that
We all have the experience?
No, we don't have that experience.
Why are you here? How you could be here if you hadn't tasted some nectar from the name?
Some nectar, but not like every single time that I chant. I mean, it's glorious. It's exciting. It's inspiring. But I'm just wondering, it must be very special that one person... Because for me, chanting is, it's very special, but sometimes I have to be very patient because my mind does wander and I don't feel the nectar. But I know the nectar is there.
Yeah, that, we all go through that, but we have to be patient. It's just like the doctor gives us our medicine. It tastes bitter. We all know the example of jaundice, and we have to just have faith in the instructions of the physician who's telling us to take this medicine, and even though it's bitter right now, the sweetness will come in due course of time. We just have to have patience, because the fact is we don't always taste the nectar. Let's be honest about it. Sometimes it's just sheer drudgery for us to pick up our beads and chant our rounds. That's a fact. So we just have to think, it's not, the problem is not the name, the problem is me. We have to always remember that. We should never think, well, what did Prabhupada give us this for? No, we have to think, what nonsense rascal am I, that even though there's unlimited nectar here, to me it's like poison. We have to always remember it is our own lack of Krishna consciousness, which is the difficulty. That we have to always remember. And if you can keep that proper perspective, then you're on the right track. You're on the right track. And Krishna will bless you. The fact is, as Krishna confirms, ye yata mang prapadyante tang tachaiva bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I will reward them accordingly. So, if we are very serious and constantly begging Krishna, please make me your pure devotee, we'll be getting into this in my classes here on pure devotional service. We have to really desire and try to cultivate that mood of pure devotional service, because that's what the chanting really is all about. We're begging for pure devotional service. So if we don't have an attitude of actually begging Krishna for pure devotional service, then our chanting will never fructify, you see. We have to be in that mood of actually begging Krishna, please, my dear Krishna, make me your pure devotee. I'm tired of these impurities of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, this enjoying spirit. I'm sick and tired of trying to enjoy when I'm not really the enjoyer. So please bless me with pure bhakti. If we're in that mood of begging for pure bhakti, that should be the mood when we chant. You see? If you're in that mood of chanting for pure bhakti, then everything else will follow automatically. You see? Many people say, well, Prabhu, I'm not tasting the nectar when I chant. What can I do to get the nectar? Well, your problem is you're trying to get the nectar. You may say, what problem? When I'm trying to get the nectar, what are you talking about? I'll explain. Who's the enjoyer? Krishna or you? If you... Just like when... Just imagine that, that a mundane example. Some guy serenading, so he's wooing some girl's affection and he's singing her some love songs, He's trying to capture her heart by serenading her with the love songs, So he's trying to sing in such a way that she will be so pleased with him, He's trying to please her. What will really make this girl love me, How can I sing in such a way that it just melt her heart, So he's singing how to please her by the music, So in that way, we think, well, how can I chant in such a way that Krishna will just relish my chanting like anything? That's the way. Try to chant in such a way that Krishna will go, wow. This is sweet. You see what I'm saying? You're trying to please Krishna, not yourself. And if you will chant in such a way that Krishna goes, wow, this is sweet, then I guarantee you, you're going to be swimming in an ocean of nectar, because we only truly enjoy to the extent that we please Krishna. Any other enjoyment is just an imagination. It's Maya Sukaya. It's illusory enjoyment. The only real enjoyment we get is the pleasure we give to Krishna. So try to chant japa, try to sing kirtan, everything in such a way that Krishna will go, how sweet, how sweet, how sweet. You see? Then you'll taste the nectar, I guarantee it. Don't try to taste the nectar, try to give the nectar. And then you will get the nectar. That's the secret. The hand should try to feed the belly instead of trying to enjoy separately that gulab jamun, you see. Maybe it's such a nice gulab jamun and you say, let me enjoy. How much enjoyment you get out of that gulab jamun? But put it here, wow, the whole body gets a benefit. So you have to not try to get it. If you're trying to think, I'm trying to enjoy the chanting, squeezing the holy name, trying to get some juice out of it. No. You offer that holy name to Krishna. And then, wow. Then you really relish the nectar. This process works. It's scientific. I guarantee you this works. If you will follow up these instructions precisely and you do not taste an unlimited ocean of nectar in due course of time, I will give you 10,000 euros cash. So what do you got to lose? You'll either taste the holy name's nectar or you'll be 10,000 euros richer. You have nothing to lose. Okay, anything else?
Prabhu, I'm thinking of a paradox. There is a paradox. Sometimes we see in the ISKCON youth, they relish very much the kirtan. But then, for example, in Japan, they don't relish so much, or the regulated service.
That's true for why only the youth? Why not even us old-timers have the same problem? It's a universal problem. I mean, everybody likes some cool music, you know. But the holy name, and there's no music, there's no drum, there's no, you know, it's more. Well, the key is we're not meditative enough. We're still on the platform. We're just trying to enjoy the music. I mean, so the music is good. It helps us to get into the name. If we should take the taste we're getting from the kirtan and say, okay, now let me take that enthusiasm of the kirtan and take it right into the job, into the bead bag, you see. Should take that enthusiasm and put it, and what will happen is, and they say, well, it's an austerity. Come on, I'll just do kirtan. I don't want to do japa, but hey, I got a secret for you. If you will actually take the ecstasy of kirtan and keep it with you and take it right into your bead bag, then when you come back to the kirtan, you'll find that your ecstasy of kirtan is 10 times greater than it was, you see. If you want to relish the nectar of kirtan, you know, sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, then you include japa in your kirtan program. And that will, you'll be amazed. If you go deep into japa, then you come back to kirtan, and it'll be a kirtan like no kirtan you've ever experienced before. You go, wow, I knew kirtan was really great, but I had no idea it was this great. So what you're doing, you see, when you go into japa, is you're focusing on the name aspect exclusively. And that's the core, that's the core of kirtan also, is the name. The musical instruments, the singing, the dancing, this is the frame, it's not the painting. You understand? We have, just like here, is a nice, beautiful painting, and that frame actually helps us to bring our attention to the painting. So the musical, the singing and the dancing, that is the frame for the name. But the essence is the name. If you simply get caught up in the frame, you go, wow, that's really a great frame. You never look at the painting, then you're missing the essence. So japa brings us straight to the painting without any frame. So that's why it may be hard, you know, because the frame helps us, that singing and dancing, and it helps us to focus on the name. But if we'll take that ecstasy of the kirtan and say, okay, I know that there's that much ecstasy just in the name itself, even without any musical accompaniment or any dancing. We have faith. The name, all the nectar is there in the name alone. Then we'll see the kirtans will, you know, will puncture through the stratosphere. And such kirtans, look at the original Gaur Purnima festival. Those kirtans were so powerful that what happened? The Panchatattva personally killed. Even though they had all departed from this world, the Panchatattva manifested in the kirtan and everyone could see the Panchatattva. You think that cannot happen again? It can happen again. Right here and running there. So, we have to... Oh, there you go. There they are. They're actually here. I remember I was with Prabhupada in Atlanta and back in 75. It's actually it's the time I got my Brahman set. It's a wonderful memory for me. But the main deities there were Gornatai. They had big Gornatai deities. Big, huge brass, maybe this tall, you know, brass deities of Gornatai. And I was standing just on Prabhupada's right side. He was here and I was right here. And Prabhupada was looking at the altar and he said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared in Atlanta. And I was looking down there. I just saw some brass deity down there, you know. And I was thinking, Prabhupada's vision and my vision are quite different. He's actually seeing Lord Chaitanya standing there. This is amazing. So, if we can go deep into the holy name, not only in the kirtan, but also in the bead bag, we will find that our kirtans will go to a whole new level, you see. And they can go, it's actually possible. If we go deep enough into the pure name, Shuddha Nam, that the Panchatattva will agree to actually manifest and become visible to everybody in the kirtan who's developed the Shuddha Nam. That's actually possible. So it's worth it. Do the austerity. And Prabhupada said, I just read in the Veda base, he was saying before sunrise, 16 rounds before sunrise, or at least before noon. Ideally before sunrise, or at least before noon. What I like to do is get up early and chant them all before Mangalarti. I find that really easy. There's no distractions, there's nothing else to do. No one. Just get up very early, chant the rounds before Mangalarti. And then you can do some puja after Mangalarti, you can study. And that's what I find works the best, is get up and chant them before Mangalarti. Get up early. Take a nap if you have to, or get to bed early, so you can get up early every morning and chant those rounds. In the early morning, it's so easy to go deep, 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 deep into that ocean. The early morning hours are the secret for good japa. One has to be in the habit of rising early. If I get up after the sunrise, if I get up at 9 o'clock in the morning and go to breakfast, I mean, something like that, you know. How you can chant japa, good job, it's very difficult. If you rise early in the morning, don't let that sun catch you sleeping. If you rise early in the morning before sunrise, take bath and chant the holy names, you'll be amazed at how much nectar there is in these two syllables, Krishna. So anything else? Maybe our time has run out. I was told 20 minutes, this has been more like an hour, you know. Of course, time seems to come to a standstill, you know. When you go deep into Krishna consciousness, time becomes like non-existent. That rasa dance, it was actually a whole night of Lord Rama. But it went just like a normal night. You can imagine a whole nighttime of Lord Rama? How many years that is? Is that 4,320,000,000 years? Yeah? Wow. Can you imagine dancing for 4,320,000,000 years? Without even getting tired?
Even if you do get tired.
Mm-hmm.
If you do get tired, Krishna, the gopis felt a little fatigued, and Krishna just...
He touched their face and they got completely rejuvenated, yeah. And we should always hanker for that touch of Krishna. That he can touch us. So we have to be qualified to become touched by Krishna, by pure love. And then Krishna will touch us also. Brahma got a handshake. Remember in the Bhagavatam? Brahma got qualified for a handshake from Krishna. Sometimes they say, well, this handshaking is completely Western custom, but actually it's right there. Brahma got a handshake from Krishna. I saw Prabhupada also. He would sometimes shake hands too. He shook hands with the lady mayor of Sausalito, California. She gave a little speech to introduce Prabhupada to the thousands of people who had gathered for the Rath Yatra. She came out to give a little introductory speech. Very nice speech she gave to introduce Prabhupada to all the people, and Prabhupada shook hands with her after she spoke. Wow, that'd be special. Because getting Prabhupada's embrace, that was a very special thing. I was there, I remember I had joined in Texas with Vishnu Janaswami. And then we went over to California for the Rath Yatra and Prabhupada's visit to Los Angeles. And Prabhupada came back from the morning walk and we were all lined up there along the sidewalk to greet him. And first thing he did was he gave Vishnu Dhammaraj a big hug. That's really the nectar. Very few of us got Prabhupada's embrace, but I didn't ever get the Vishnu Jan. But I wasn't envious. I just felt, well, wow, I'm with Vishnu Jan Maharaj, and he got hugged by Prabhupada. I felt really good, because I was one of his men, see. When Prabhupada hugged him, I felt like I was being hugged also, because I was one of his men. So the rest of us, there was a nice system in those days, and Prabhupada would come back from the walk. And if you know the L.A. temple, Prabhupada's quarters are on the side. There's an entrance on the side while you're down. So he would come out of the car and then go around the building and this way to the back. But as he's coming down the sidewalk, every devotee was lined up and we all had a flower, you see. And Prabhupada would come to each devotee individually. We would hand Prabhupada our flower and then he would reach in this basket that he had been given and he would hand us a flower. So it was a very special treat. You got to have your own personal reciprocation with Srila Prabhupada. It was really, really nice. And so Prabhupada gave me... I was right by Vishnu Dhammaraj. After I gave him Prabhupada my flower, he gave me one. And then this is the first time I've ever really been with Prabhupada that close, and I just wanted to get more of a darshan. So I stood there on the steps that now lead into the temple room. I stood there on those steps just to watch Prabhupada as he came by going to his quarters, just to get, you could actually drink Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes, if you know what I mean. So I was standing there just trying to drink in some more nectar, Prabhupada into my heart as he came by. And Prabhupada, this is the first interaction I had with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was so kind, because he'd just been giving flowers to everybody in the line. And here's one that's not standing in the line, you see. He's standing here on the steps, not in the line. So he looked up, this is all with body language, but he looked up to me, he held a flower up. Did you get a flower yet? He was so considerate. Here's just some, renegade, practically, just out of the material world, renegade, wearing a dhoti and shaved head. But he's wanting to make sure that I didn't miss out on getting a flower. And then I just smiled and nodded. Yes, I've gotten a flower. So now I had this flower that Prabhupada gave me, and what to do with it, I mean, it's the greatest treasure I could ever have in my whole life, a flower that Prabhupada had personally handed me. What am I going to do? Well, if you're a householder, you could take it home and put it someplace in your apartment, you know, so it's permanently there, you know. But a brahmachari, what am I going to do? How am I going to maintain this flower, you know? I had no, you know, I didn't have an apartment. We just slept on the floor in the Bhishadam room at night, and we didn't have any, even a brahmachari quarters. We just threw our stuff in the closet during the day and we'd sleep in the prasadam room floor at night, and that was about it. So what am I going to do with this flower? How am I going to maintain it? And I said, oh no, I'll just eat it. So I ate the flower. At least I'll merge it in my body, at least for some time I'll, you know, merge it in my body. So I ate that flower. Anyway, whatever the next step is, we should go forward, because I could talk all night, but we don't...
We get the prasadam. Perhaps while the prasadam comes, we can sing a little more.
What's he saying?
He said the devotee went to get the prasadam.
So we have more time?
While the prasadam comes back, we can have a little kirtan.
Okay, we'll have a little more kirtan. You want me to lead again?
Lead.
All right. Okay. To the same melody, I guess. Actually, I've been doing this one melody. It's really the only melody I do. I've been doing it for how many years? 6 years? I just focus on this one melody, going deeper into the one tune. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.
Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.